Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad.
Hi everybody, I'm Nikola. It's been a while since we've been on This Week on Channel 9. As you've probably noticed, there's been several weeks where we haven't had This Week on Channel 9, and we apologize for that. We've been really busy with the Build Conference and other events that have been going on out there, but from now on we should be pretty safe to have a weekly show.
I hope so.
I hope so too. But it's been a fun ride. We spent several weeks locked in essentially a room with other developers working on content and working on the Build Conference and making sure that the keynotes and sessions and workshops and everything that was a Build Conference was the best that it can be. So I think we had a good time.
Yeah,
we
our primary focus was on the keynote demos. So hopefully you like them. If don't, yes.
You might see some of our pictures or names in somewhere in those demos, and I think
Easter
it's
eggs.
a little ways to get our way into the keynotes. But it was a great event. Hopefully a lot of you watched it online, and hopefully a lot of you went to the event as well. Big thanks also to the Channel 9 guys that were all there and did, I think, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 hours of videos, and they did interviews and everything, so you guys can, you know, if you weren't able to go to the event, be able to at least watch it online and be involved as much as being there.
So they did a great job. And, like, the whole team, the whole Build team did a great job. We made a bunch of things, and what were your favorite things from Build?
I mean, there's a lot of things that went at Build, and it was just information after information. I still have a list of maybe 30 or 40 sessions I'm still catching up on. The biggest announcement that I really liked was the stuff that I'm mostly close to is the Xbox stuff. Mm-hmm. So we finally talked about Utopia on Xbox, and it's available to everybody to try it. If you don't know, you can now get your retail Xbox converted into a dev Xbox and push Utopia applications in Visual Studio on the Xbox. And we have things like native support for controller on the PC too. So you can plug in a PC to a controller and use the controller on the controls just work. And there's really cool stuff that you can use the microphone and the Kinect to do voice recognition. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's all the same APIs that a UAP application would use.
Yeah, and you can even do fancy stuff like composition.
Yeah, everything that UAP platform should expect. If it's not available there, it will be available in the future. So we're making sure the UAP platform works at work.
Because it's universal.
Exactly.
What else?
Well, how about you?
My favorite thing was probably Centennial announcement. So basically Centennial, Project Centennial, as we call it internally, as a way to publish your Win32 apps to a Windows Store for desktop, obviously. So it's not just about listing your application in Windows Store, which is a big thing by itself, and distributing it and updating it. It's also about using UWP APIs, such as commerce APIs from the store, so you can basically do in-app purchase using the store engine, or you can do things like live tiles or push notifications, basically accessing these devices on your PC, again using UWP APIs and not those old Win32 APIs, which are pretty complex to use. This is a big thing, and I'm already playing with it.
Yeah, as you said, I think one of the biggest thing about Centennial, Project Centennial, or the modern installer is that one of the big goals they're trying to avoid is bloat on the computer. So any registry writes or anything right on the disk, everything is isolated. So that way you can do a clean uninstall of applications if you need to, and everything just stays where they are, so it doesn't slow down your computer. And it's just a new way moving forward to build applications and package applications for people can just double click, install, don't have to worry about where to install or where
exactly,
to do this
exactly.
stuff. It kind of just works.
Yeah, talking about isolation, they basically virtualize registry and the file system. So your application deployed using Centennial things that it's on the real registry and the file system, but in fact it's isolated. So once you remove the app, they also remove all these registry keys and files. They're produced by itself.
So I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff, and we can talk about it probably with days here. Yeah. And in fact, there's days and days worth of videos that are already on Channel 9 right now. So you can definitely go today, go look at all the sessions, go look at the keynotes, go look at all the interviews that we've done. Everything is already on Channel 9. There's hundreds and hundreds of hours of video. I'd love to hear back from what your favorite features were that we announced, so use the comments below to tell us some of the favorite features that you had from Build Conference.
Yeah.
Now, after the Build Conference, for those that still had some time on their hands to kind of watch, learn more about different things. We had another summit called the Microsoft Web Edge Summit that was the next week. Mm-hmm. It's also in San Francisco, but it was streamed. And this was an event where we had a lot of the engineers that work on the Edge platform, the Edge browser, the Edge everything, come and talk about Chakra, come talk about all the different things that are about Microsoft Edge.
And yeah,
talk
and about the standards web support and the standards development, not just within Edge, but also about the, like, across all the browsers, because our people work in W3C.
Exactly. So if you're, you know, if you have some time and you're interested about all the new stuff that's coming up and learn about new stuff, go look at the videos. They're also on Channel 9 as well.
Cool. New stuff.
Yes.
It's like, it's really fresh. Visual Studio Code 1.0.
Yeah, it's been a long road to get to this point.
Yeah. Basically, we announced the Visual Studio Code last year at Build, about this time frame. And finally, after Build 2016, like a week or 2 weeks after, we have Visual Studio Code as a RTM or RTW, right?
Yeah. And for those that are not familiar with Visual Studio Code, it's essentially a cross-platform development tool that allows you to write code either on Linux or Mac or Windows. It uses a lot of the same functionality that you're used to in Visual Studio and a lot of the same ways. And we've created a lot of new features since the first release. We've added things like extensions, so you can write extensions, and people have done over 1,000 extensions already. It supports a lot of different languages now by the community, and has been contributed over, I believe, 300 plus pull requests that we've had on GitHub for this. So it's been a very, very long journey. I mean, not really long, but it's been very busy to get to this point.
Yeah, it was very powerful since day one. But it was missing some features like debugging and some languages support, the build support. Now it's all coming, and Visual Studio Code is becoming, like, basically transforming from just a very powerful editor to a really integrated development environment, which I love a lot.
Yeah, and you know, it was firstly meant for JavaScript kind of web development. Now it supports a lot of different languages, all the way from Go.
C++, C sharp,
everything. Anyway, speaking of new things coming up, at this week was the F8 conference from Facebook. And then one of the announcements they did around Windows Platform is that the React Native libraries and everything will be available for Universal Windows Platform. So you can use React Native to build native applications for the Universal Windows Platform. And you can use the same tools that you used to right now. You can use Visual Studio Code. It allows you to do really cool stuff.
Yeah, so basically your UI will look, as again, native on Windows, on Universal Windows Platform, and you're still using React, you're still using this React Native library, and you work
and you're sharing code across all your different devices, all your different platforms, you're writing cross-platform devices. And this is, you know, this is, comes out of many different news for many different ways to do cross-platform, and we keep adding more and more ways to do cross-platform development, starting Windows or anywhere you want to be. You know, we announced Xamarin to be free. We're doing a lot of stuff around the web, when I host a web app. So there's many ways you can start doing cross-platform development across all the different platforms.
You can even run Bash and Linux ELF binaries on Windows now.
Exactly.
And talking about Windows, there's a new build for, actually two builds of Windows for Insiders. And we start from a desktop one, which is 14.3.16. It's a good build in many ways. And the first way is that it's the first build that you can run Bash on Ubuntu on Windows, basically, right? Right. I believe this build also contains the first wave of Centennial support, like as a beta or alpha, I don't know, like as a preview. And you can try both Bash and Centennial now. And see how the apps work in there.
This is, and I like the way they positioned this. This is the build that has everything, almost everything we talked about at Build.
Yeah, we were talking about the Windows 10 anniversary update that's coming this summer, and basically this build is the first build having all this stuff as a, I would say, code complete, right?
No, yeah, exactly, and stuff that people can try out, mm-hmm. and you can use the feedback application to provide feedback. And some of the cool things that I really like out here is we have some of the cool Cortana stuff. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you have your phone, Android or Windows phone, and you have a low notification on your Windows phone, you can actually get a notification now on your Action Center on your desktop that says your phone has a low notification. Yeah. You can send your directions, map directions to your phone directly through Cortana on the desktop. A lot of really cool new improvements. There's improvements around Edge, new extensions for Edge, kind of the updates to the Reddit extension, updates to the Pinit extensions, some new extensions there you can try, updates to the settings. There's also the new remote applications for the Continuum, the Connect app for Continuum, so that way you can connect your Continuum-enabled phones to be able to display the second display through an app on Windows.
Yeah, there's also a new feature called containers. For those of you who work with containers, you're probably familiar with that. And in fact, Centennial works using this containers feature.
So really, really good stuff all around. And definitely try it out. If you're not an insider already, give it a shot.
Yeah, once you've done watching Build 2016 videos, you just install this build and believe in it.
And try it. In addition, we also have a new build for mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Build 14.3.2.2 just was released on Thursday. And it comes with all kinds of new cool stuff there as well. And definitely give it a try if you're running a Windows phone and you're in the Insider program.
And we haven't shipped the new Insider's build for mobile for a while. So it's again a long-awaited thing. And it has a lot of new features, a lot of new fixes. So it's definitely worth installing it.
A lot of the Cortana features on desktop are also available now on phone. So you can do the cross-device sharing and cross-device integration. Really cool stuff.
Talking about Cortana, you see I have a Cortana t-shirt now because we're going to talk about Cortana a bit. There is a Cortana Intelligence Workshop 2016, and I believe it's maybe the first one we're going to have in August here in Microsoft Conference Center. We're actually going to talk and teach people and learn from people about Cortana Intelligence, which includes a lot of things, starting from Cortana Analytics, the Cortana itself, as a speech recognition and text-to-speech engine. But of course, after this build we just had, we're going to talk a lot about bots and the bot framework and the bot platform, both as a platform for hosting your bots across our applications and as a base platform for making bots, for making intelligent conversations. Right, it should be a pretty interesting event. So you're going to meet the developers, you're going to meet scientists working in this area, and that should be an interesting thing to visit.
And it's always great to hear at these events of all the new cool stuff they're going to be announcing as well. So probably going to be new stuff that we haven't announced yet they're going to be talking about as well. So it's a really good way to get to know. Anyway, so continuing on, I think it's that time of the week, is the pick of the week.
Yay!
So this time is for my pick of the week, I chose a New York Times article that was written about Minecraft generation. And this really, I think this is a great article, talks about Minecraft and the work that the Minecraft guys have done to to make a new community of educational community of children who are using Minecraft to not just play games as they were, but to also learn and develop their creative senses, to develop ways to solve problems through the Minecraft world. It's kind of a reminder of how things worked in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. When people were building their own computers, this is kind of the same way where people are solving really unique problems and problems that kind of relate to the real world, but they're still doing this in a young age and they really, really want to do this. So it's a really great article to read. It doesn't take much time and definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I will. I haven't read it yet. So my pick of the week is actually a new website we launched and or a service we launched. It's CaptureBot, CaptionBot. We already launched a bunch of websites like this. It's How Old I Am, and another one is Twins or Not. This is probably the third one or the fourth one.
Oh, there's more than that.
Yeah, there is more than that. I already forgot how many. So basically, what's interesting about this this particular service is usually you upload the picture, and then this bot says, what's going on in this picture, right? Either it's about people or about like some I don't know, things on this picture, what's going on? That's a big thing because now artificial intelligence and bots we were just talking about can understand the environment, can understand what's going on, and it's a lot better, not in terms of the artificial intelligence itself, but it's also good in terms of talking to bots actually and having a conversation, having the context of the conversation. Also, if caption bot says that there are people on this picture, it's trying to understand their face. What like, are they happy? Are they sad? Are they like, don't really care about anything? That's a fun service demonstrating machine learning capabilities, demonstrating actually Cortana intelligence capabilities.
So this is really cool because this is using the new cognitive services, or they were used to known as Project Oxford.
Yeah.
And this is something that anybody can just do on their own because these services are already available for everybody. This is just using publicly available services that you can use yourself within applications, within websites, everywhere. They're just REST services that allow you, give you this machine learning power out of the box. You don't have to know how to do machine learning. You can just use these services for vision, for speech, for anything, and you can just use these and create experiences like this.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. I think that's all we got for this week. Thanks everyone for joining us, and hope you have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, and have fun!